Once a pastor from a parish went to do grocery in a grocery store, and there he met one of his parishioners who had not been to church for a long time. So the pastor greeted him and asked, "How are you, my friend? How is it that I don't see you in the church for a long time? What happened?" And the parishioner replied, "Father, to tell you the truth, I don't like to go to church because the church is full of sinners." And the pastor with a smile replied, "My friend, our church is never full." We always have enough room for one more sinner. Why don't you come in? I suppose we are all sinners here, right? Anybody without sin? You may leave now. This is for sinners. Brothers and sisters, this Sunday's readings reveal the greatness of God, who is the creator of the universe, as the Book of Wisdom tells us, and at the same time, his infinite mercy towards his human beings, his people. The Book of Wisdom reminds us that we are very tiny creatures compared to the Lord of the universe, who created the entire universe. Have you just looked at the universe lately? How big it is? It contains billions and billions of galaxies, stars. Some of them are bigger than the sun. And our planet, Earth, is just a tiny dot in the universe. And in that universe, it is so vast for us. What about us? We are just small, tiny creatures on this planet. Have we ever wondered what an amazing thing that God has created? The creator of the universe. And yet, he cares for each one of us in a very personal way. He loves us all. He shows his mercy upon us. Isn't that amazing? The mercy, the forgiveness that the Lord gives us. You know, if we feel tiny, weak, and sinful before the Lord, we are blessed. Because it's in our weakness God's greatness shines forth. God's greatness sustains us and strengthens us in our weakness. Wisdom tells us, "God, you are almighty, and you overlook people's sins and their imperfections that they may repent." Today's gospel also displays the astonishing and wondrous mercy of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, through the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. If you notice, Jesus' focus is on tax collectors two Sundays of the Gospels in a row. You know, last Sunday's Gospel also was about a tax collector. A tax collector and a Pharisee went into the temple to pray. And the Pharisee went on to pray by praising himself and making himself as a righteous person before God and accusing everyone else. Whereas the tax collector stood far off, beating his breast, he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, the tax collector went home justified and forgiven, but not the Pharisee. And today again, we see another tax collector in today's gospel, a real person with a real name, Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He was a tax collector, a chief tax collector, which means he was very rich, as the gospel says. How did he become rich? Through extortion. He made money through dishonest means. You know, tax collectors were known for that. That's why they were known as public sinners. People knew that they were sinners because they were collecting more than what was required through the tax collection. They were the agents of the Roman emperor, but they were taking a sum of the money and pocketing it. That's why they were considered as traitors to the people of Israel, and then they became rich by extortion. But tax collector Zacchaeus, he was repentant for his sins. He was guilty of his sin, what he was doing. And he desired to see Jesus. You know, it is his desire to see Jesus that caught the attention of Jesus. Among the crowd, so many people were gathering around Jesus. So much so that even Zacchaeus could not come and see him because, first of all, he was afraid of the crowd. Because the people knew who he was. So he would keep himself away from them, from the mainstream society. And secondly, he was small of stature. That is highly symbolic. He was not only physically small, but also he was small in his entire person because of his sinfulness. He knew that he was very small. He was guilty of his sin. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree. And there he is sitting on the tree wanting to see Jesus. And Jesus knew the desire of Zacchaeus. So when he came to the spot, Jesus stopped and looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. I want to stay in your house today." Wow, that is amazing. And the Pharisees began to criticize Jesus, saying, "Look, he is going to a sinner's house to stay. That is unheard of. If you don't go to a sinner's house, you keep away from the sinners." That was the custom. But here Jesus goes to a sinner's house to eat with them and to stay in his house. And what did Zacchaeus do? He came down in a hurry. He did not waste any time. He was so happy that Jesus responded to his desire to see him. Jesus told him, "Come down." He came down and welcomed Jesus with joy. There was so much joy in welcoming Jesus into his heart, into his home. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house. This man is also a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek out and to save what was lost." Elsewhere in the gospel, Jesus says this. He says, "I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners, to come and save the sinners." That is the mission of Jesus. That's the mission that the Father entrusted to him, to seek out and save the lost. This is what we see happening right here in the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus desires to come into our heart. He desires to stay with us, brothers and sisters. And you know, but we have to welcome him as Zacchaeus did. We have to open our hearts to him. Welcome him into our hearts. Welcome him into our home. And he can transform us, change us totally, as he did in the life of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. A sinner became a saint, a disciple of Christ. It is because he welcomed Jesus with joy. This is what is supposed to happen in every Mass when we come to the Eucharist. Our Lord is welcoming us. He is present here in the Holy Eucharist. And he desires to come into our hearts. He desires to come into our homes with us. He wants to stay with us. But the question is, do we welcome him with an open heart? Sometimes we can go to Mass without even knowing what is going on there. You know, we are there just to fulfill the obligation and then we go home as if nothing happened. Well, that is wrong. This is where everything should happen. It should change us. We should not be going back as the old man, old person that we were when we come in. We go out, go back home, change the person because of the grace that we receive through the Eucharist. Our Lord is present here. What better gift we can have in our life than having Jesus in our life, who gives himself to us through the Eucharist as our sustaining force, our grace. We have to open our hearts to welcome him And then we will see transformation taking place in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our communities. Today we are also observing National Vocation Awareness Sunday. Vocation Awareness Sunday. St. Paul in today's second reading reminds us to live our lives worthy of our calling. What is our calling? What is our vocation? Well, each of us has a vocation. We all share two kinds of vocations. We all have a general vocation called a vocation to be a Christian. That is a general vocation that we all share through our baptism. And we become a disciple of Jesus Christ through our baptism. We are all Christians. That is a vocation, a call to be a Christian. Second, we also share a specific vocation. Each one of us has a specific vocation. Like me, I am called to be a priest and a religious. It is a special call from God. Whereas several of you, most of you are called to married life. Marriage is another sacrament, and it is a call, it is a vocation. A very generous, a very noble vocation given to people by God. And you have responded to that call by entering into marriage as husband and wife, as parents and children, as family. You are living that vocation every day. We are called to respond to it joyfully, as Zacchaeus did, so that he can change and transform our lives. There is also vocation to consecrated life, to religious life, as nuns and religious brothers are. There's also another vocation called single blessedness, a people who choose to remain single. They don't get married, neither do they become religious nuns or priests, but they remain single and dedicate themselves, offer their lives in service of the Lord and the church. They are called single blessedness. Now we all share one of these vocations in our lives. How do we respond to that vocation that the Lord has given? You know, God wants us to discern vocations in our lives. The church needs more priests. Church needs more priests. With all the bad news going on in the media, you know, about the priests and the church, yet I still tell you, the church needs, we need priests. Because without priests, we cannot have Jesus. We cannot have Eucharist. It is the priest who brings Jesus alive on the altar at the Holy Eucharist. It is the celebration of the Holy Eucharist is the one that gives me so much fulfillment in my life as a ministerial priest. We need priests to bring Jesus to us, into our hearts, into our homes, brothers and sisters. Therefore, it is so essential for us to pray for vocations. Pray for our children. Pray for our young ones. Talk about vocations in our homes. Talk to them. Help our children to discern their calling. Sometimes a spark is needed for them to think about it and pray about it and discern about it. Do you know that we have two seminarians from our parish here? Right now in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, for the Archdiocese of Atlanta, two seminarians are in formation. One is our own Sean Lee. You know, he was our life team here for a while, some time ago. He was also a sacristan, an altar server, you know. And the other one is also our altar server, Luis Cardenas, Jr., from the Hispanic community. So we have two seminarians now from our parish. Please pray for them, for their perseverance, and also pray for more vocations to come from our parish. You know, maybe some of the altar servers might end up becoming priests or religious nuns. Who knows, you know? Yeah. Or some of the young people sitting here, our team, our life team, you know, they might respond to the call of God to be a religious nun or a religious consecrated person or a priest one day. You know, we need more priests because I am ready to retire, you know, so I need some replacements. So please continue to pray for vocations, brothers and sisters. We have prayer card at the narthex. After the mass, you can take a family prayer card with you and pray at home. And starting today, we are bringing back the Elijah cup. You heard of Elijah cup? We were doing that some time ago, right? And then for some reasons, we had to stop it. And now we are starting today, we are bringing it back again. It's a wonderful tradition. Take the chalice that the priest uses for the mass, celebration of the Eucharist. The chalice will be given out to a family, and the family takes that home and keeps it on the altar, and you pray every day. The family come together and pray every day for a few minutes. You know, pray for the vocations, discernment of vocations for the young people especially. Pray for religious life and priestly life. Let us do that, and let us encourage our young ones to think about this noble vocation calling to be a disciple of Christ. And respond to that call genuinely. Brothers and sisters, we all are called to a way of life. Whether we are married, single, or priest, or religious, doesn't matter. We are called to respond to that call genuinely and bring forth fruits in our lives by our lives. How do we respond? How responsibly we live out our vocation in our daily life? Amen.